You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Thanks for tuning in for another edition of the Best of the Todd Albaugh Show. This week on Tuesday, Todd talked with EAA Museum Director Chris Henry about the life and accomplishments of the astronaut Jim Lovell, who passed away towards the end of last week. Here's their conversation.
On this Tuesday, August 12th, we were on the air last Friday when the news came of the death of Jim Lovell, the great NASA astronaut. And when it came across, we were going to do a segment with our own Mike Clemens, who was on earlier today talking sports, as he does, our sports reporter. He said, put me on now if you want to have a great Jim Lovell story. And it turned out that he had actually interviewed, along with our own Jane Matinere. Matinere on Air had interviewed Jim Lovell down in Milwaukee back in the day. So it was great having Mike along. And to continue to talk more in depth about the legacy and the print that James Lovell left on the state of Wisconsin and aviation in particular. Live from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and the EAA Museum, the director of the EAA Museum, Chris Henry. Chris, welcome back to the show, and thanks for taking time once again for us.
Oh, absolutely. It's a pleasure to be here, even though it's under these circumstances.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, Lovell lived a full life. That was in 97, I believe, at his death last week. So, you know, certainly had a full life, but, you know, never easy to lose people that we really admire or look up to, and in particular, people that left such a large and positive imprint on the state of Wisconsin. And before we get to Lovell's life, again, we were just up there with Jane and Greg and I about a month ago-ish or so, right before the EAA. Give us a quick update, Chris. How did the EAA air event go for y'all?
Oh, it went amazing. We ended up with over 700,000 people, over 10,000 airplanes. the weather was, you know, really great. I think we had one day where we got a little bit of rain. I mean, it was a little bit of rainy afternoon. A couple days were some heat, but nothing too crazy. My favorite thing was it was a hot day for us, but I had somebody from Texas with us who thought that it was cool. And they said, oh, this is nothing, you know. Really just a great event. And it really is like a family reunion. I mean, mm-hmm. You see people that are your friends that you only see this time of year. And you seek each other out during that week. It's like, I know you're here somewhere, and you, even if it's just having a quick bite to eat or even just something to drink together on the ground, you know, something like an iced tea, just that few minutes of camaraderie kind of recharges your airplane battery here, if you will. And yeah. It gets you all fired up again to go back to work and continue going and doing everything we can to preserve aviation history and get more people interested in it. But 700,000, over 700,000 people, that was a big number. We were really, really excited about that.
Well, congratulations again, you and everybody else up there on just such a great event. And again, thank you very much for allowing Jane and Greg and I to come up and broadcast there in your beautiful facility in the EAA Museum. I would encourage everybody across the state who's listening, if you haven't been there, there's still some summer left. And even if it's not summer, take time to go and visit this great museum, because you're going to learn, yes, a lot about Wisconsin aviation, but there's a lot of American history there. And you all do such a great job of presenting that. And I would just encourage everybody to check it out. Let's change gears a little bit. We're talking with Chris Henry, EAA Museum Director in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And Chris, I know for many of us, you think of Jim Lovell, you think of Apollo 13 and his great, you know, NASA career, and of course the Tom Hanks and Ron Howard movie. But maybe some of us, a little bit lesser, don't quite fully understand there's a great Wisconsin connection to Jim Lovell as well.
There is, and it's he spent a lot of his time growing up in Wisconsin. As a matter of fact, there's a really good EAA story to this too, which always cracked me up. Was so Jim Lovell went on to become a naval aviator. Mm. He flew fighters, aircraft like the Banshee, And these airplanes had something called a T-tail. So the tail, the horizontal stabilizer on the aircraft is kind of up high, so you can't really see it.
Sure.
It was a winter in Wisconsin, like we get here. And he had made sure all the ice was clear off his aircraft. He was getting ready to go flying, but he couldn't see the T-tail, and he forgot about it. And as he was getting ready to do the pre-flight on the airplane, a tanker, a refueling aircraft, taxied by and shut down. And guy got out, and he said, "Hey, you couldn't see it, but there's a lot of ice on the top of that tail." And Jim Lovell later said, "You know, that saved my life, because had I tried to fly the airplane like that, I wouldn't have been able to climb." Wow. And it was years later that he discovered it was Paul Poberesny, our founder, that was the tanker pilot that taxied by and saw it and stopped him from going. So there was a really good EAA tie to it, but he was also a very proud Wisconsinite here as well. So a lot of time spent in Wisconsin.
Just one of those things, right, where – I mean, had he not got that information, I mean, God forbid, who knows how history would have been changed. And one small act of kindness can literally change the course of history for America and for the space program. And I don't think it's overstating it to say the world in many regards.
It absolutely would have had a ripple effect through spaceflight history, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you ever have a chance to meet him in your time at the EAA? Or?
I did. I actually had a chance to spend a good bit of quality time with him. I hosted him on a few different occasions, thanks to the first one I did was I did an event specifically on Apollo 13 for the air show at Theater in the Woods, which is like the big amphitheater that we do evening programs in. And I can remember sending an invite. And I remember just being nervous when I sent the email invite that Jim Lovell might read this, you know. Right. And Mary, who was his assistant and really, really fantastic person as well. I heard from her first, and she said, Captain Lovell will be joining you guys. And,
wow.
And I remember immediately feeling relieved that he said yes, and then nervous that he said yes. So, right. You know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, we have this guy. And before he ever came up here, he was a hero of mine. I mean, I had watched the movie and I had read the book, and I just remember thinking, before I was on staff here, of boy, I'd love to just meet him one day. And I never thought that I'd have the chance to sort of work with them on a project. And he came up with the Apollo 13 reunion. We did that year with Fred Hayes and Gene Kranz from Mission Control, Milt Windler, and Bill Reeves. These guys were all people that worked on the Apollo 13 program. And I'll never forget, we were leaving the event that evening. I'm driving them back to their hotel. We were on a golf cart. It was a hotel that was on the grounds here. And we had a full moon that night. And if you've seen the movie, you know that Tom Hanks would sort of put his thumb over the moon, you know, and then when he was up in space, he'd do it over Earth. Jim Lovell was talking to Fred Hayes, and as he's talking to Fred Hayes, he just puts his thumb over the moon. And I almost wrecked the golf cart because I'm watching him do this, and I'm like, wow. And I even said, I'm like, wow, you actually do that? And he goes, where do you think Tom Hanks saw it? You know, and he started smiling. So, but I'll never forget watching him actually do that on the golf cart driving back to the Hilton.
It had to be wild. Surreal.
It absolutely was. And it was also just surreal. A couple years later, I think the next year, we actually did an Apollo reunion where we tried to get as many as we could. I think we had 8 astronauts plus Gene Kranz from Mission Control. And that night, on stage, we have these legends of the Apollo program, and we had another giant full moon. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it's just really surreal when you're sitting out, you're watching these guys that went up there and explored the heavens, and then you're looking up, and there's this giant full moon over the theater, and you're like, wow, that's where they were going. It was really, really pretty wild.
We're talking with Chris Henry, who is the EAA Museum Director in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, of the legacy and life and times of now the late, great James Lovell, great NASA astronaut, friend of the EAA, and spent much of his life as a Wisconsinite here in Milwaukee in the state of Wisconsin. Chris, what was he? I mean, most of us, you know, study a little bit of history or whatever, know of his Apollo 13 missions in NASA, but having had the honor, the opportunity to hang out with him, what was Jim Lovell like just as a person to be around?
I think the thing that shocked me the most, I was really built up for, you know, you don't know when you've never met somebody like this, you're like, oh boy, are they like a movie star? Or do they have a bunch of demands? Are they only want green M&Ms and stuff like that?
Right.
You couldn't be more off with Jim Lovell. He was purely just the most humble hero and the nicest guy, and just a jovial guy. I mean, he was just a very, very friendly person. And when you put him and Frank Borman together, they could have had their own comedy show. and if anybody listening came to Theater in the Woods, you guys know what I mean. They were hilarious. I mean, I guess spending 2 weeks on Gemini 7 together probably sealed the deal for their friendship. I mean, they were best friends, but they were absolutely hilarious together. So very nice guy, very giving of his time. I mean, he gave so much to EAA, both in just his time and coming up for events. And you couldn't be more wrong if you thought that there was going to be an ego. It was a complete opposite.
He was a jerk or whatever.
I mean, not exactly.
I've had you know, opportunities throughout my life in politics or entertainment or sports or what have you to meet some people. And I'm just interested, you host a lot of big names like Jim Lovell at the EAA. It seems to me that the true bigger person, the person who's the real leader, the real star, who's actually legit, generally, maybe not all the time, but generally have the smallest egos. As the people who really are kind of the medium or the small fry, they have the biggest the biggest egos or the biggest jerks. I don't know, is that what you found as well?
I've been very fortunate because I always say this, you know, there's the saying out there that says never meet your heroes because, you know, you'll be let down, right? And I always say that my time at EA has proven that phrase completely inaccurate because I've been very lucky to get a chance to meet and work with a lot of my heroes, and every one of them have been just so much bigger and cooler than I thought they were going to be. And I know I probably have a very lucky take on that, but they've all been just absolutely wonderful. Better than you even hoped that they would be. And Jim was the epitome of that.
And I think that's maybe one of the things, and being in aviation and around all these pilots and astronauts, maybe that's one of the things we don't talk about enough. The personality to be in, especially in the days of Apollo 13, when they're literally just basically the machine is built around a human body. You have to have a certain psyche to be able to perform and keep your cool and just survive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the two things that always stand out, Apollo 8, which is, of course, a mission that Frank and Jim and Bill Anders flew together. The thing that always amazed me about that is going into that mission. I mean, and make no mistake, Apollo 8 was a Cold War mission and wanted to beat Russia. They basically told them they felt that there was a 1 in 3 chance that they would make it home.
Wow.
And those guys still went and strapped on that Saturn V rocket. That is, to me, when we talk about heroics and bravery, and they all said, well, we had to do this. This was for our country. You're talking to guys that went to the Naval Academy or West Point and, you know, duty, honor, and courage are what these guys are about. And it's just amazing. If you told me there was a 1 in 3 chance that if I got in my car, I wouldn't make it home, I wouldn't get in my car today. You know,
I'll work from home today.
Yeah, exactly. And and they just did it. And they did it without thinking of it. They just thought, well, this is what we have to do for our country. We have to do this. And then, of course, you know, Apollo 8 was the success that it was.
Yeah.
To me, I mean, when we talk about the heroics that are Gemini 7, you're going to spend 2 weeks in space.
Chris, can you stop or can you stick around for another 8 minutes or so?
Yeah, right, absolutely.
Sounds good. Stay with us. We're going to continue our conversation with Chris Henry, the EAA Museum Director at Oshkosh, about the life, the times, and legacy of Jim Lovell, great NASA astronaut and Wisconsinite. Stay with us. It's the All Balls Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Thanks for sticking with us in the Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. Here is the rest of Todd's conversation with Chris Henry, the director of the EAA Museum.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. It is now 8 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock and hour number 2 on what's worse for you. an emotional edition. Closed off or enthusiastically open? That is the question we'll debate in hour number two. And also on a more serious note, State Senator Kelda Royce from here in the Madison area will be on talking about a new piece of legislation she helped co-author that applies to nurses and licensing and a greater option for nurses to practice and for people to hire them. So she'll be along talking about that in hour two as well. Right now, we are very happy to continue our conversation with Chris Henry. He is the EAA Museum Director in Oshkosh, where Jane Matner, Greg Bach, and I were so honored to broadcast from about a month ago on our tour right before the big EAA flight event there. And again, if you have not been there or if it's been a while, get back there. It's a great exhibit. Chris, before we get back into aviation, I'm not sure if you heard, we had Mike Clemens on earlier, our great sports reporter. Bad news for we Packer fans, because Jordan Love has a injury on his non-throwing hand, left hand, having surgery, out for the preseason, it looks like, which, again, those of us who joined in Oshkosh will recall that Chris is a from Pittsburgh, a Pennsylvania fan. So we'll see we'll see if Aaron Rodgers, our former quarterback, can get you guys back to glory this year.
My, I'm not even kidding. My Aaron Rodgers Steelers jersey arrives at my house today.
Really?
Not, I got tracking on it. Yeah, I'm already.
Well, look, I'm a kind of a little bit of a Steelers fan, but not so much for Rodgers, but because I'm a big TJ Watt fan.
Yeah.
And I'm salty that the Packers passed on him in the draft years ago, and he could be in Green Bay, but I'm happy. The Watt family are just fantastic, and so I hope TJ has another great year.
And he's really wonderful in Pittsburgh. People in Pittsburgh love him. And Aaron Rodgers, you know, as much fun as I'll have with the jersey, the true thing is, at the end of the day, you know, my friends in Pittsburgh are going to get to see a Hall of Fame quarterback, another
right?
one.
Yeah.
You know, get to throw a football in a black and gold jersey. So we're excited about that.
As well you should be. Talking about, if there was a NASA Hall of Fame, certainly Jim Lovell should and would be in it. He passed away at the age of 97 last week. Chris, maybe part of the untold story in James Lovell spending a lot of time living, growing up in Wisconsin. You have a great exhibit at the EAA Museum in Oshkosh on Frank Borman that includes a lot of Jim Lovell. First of all, tell folks who Jim Borman was.
So Frank Borman, he was one of the new nine, same group of astronauts that Lovell got selected in. Everybody knows the original seven. This was the second group. And they flew Gemini 7 together. So again, 2 weeks in space. And remember, we're not talking about 2 weeks in the shuttle. This is 2 weeks right. strapped to your seat in something the size of what they described as a Volkswagen Bug. And my favorite, you know, gotcha that Frank would always say is, I had to spend 2 weeks in space with a sailor. Who would want to do that? You know, and Jim would always, laugh and say, well, I know several people that would have enjoyed that trip. You know? But that really gave us a sense of how long we could stay up in space. I mean, that was a record-breaking flight. And then to turn around, Frank testified before Congress after the Apollo 1 fire, where we lost three astronauts, Grissom, Chaffee, and White, to help save the space program. And then commanded Apollo 8, which was the first time we're going to leave low Earth orbit, first time we're going to park in lunar orbit, first flight of the Saturn V, which was the big rocket that was as tall as a 35-story building. This was a rocket that was going to take us to the moon. And 7.5 million pounds of thrust out of that thing. So, and on that crew, of course, Frank was commander, and he again chose to go with Lovell. And then they selected Bill Anders as well. And Frank once told me, his exact words were, if you go on Gemini for 2 weeks with someone, you're either going to emerge mortal enemies or best friends. And I was lucky to have Lovell with me, and we became best friends. And again, they did Apollo 8. A lot of people feel is the most important scientific mission ever flown.
Wow.
That is a lot of firsts that we had to undertake. And the way the Apollo program was structured, every numbered mission had to be a success before the next mission could go.
Wow.
So without Apollo 8, there was no Apollo 9. Mm-hmm. Without 9, there wouldn't be a 10. And you had to hit these goals before we could go and do the moon landing. So all of it built on one another. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, and I think all that flight experience, when Apollo 13's crisis happened, I don't think you could have had a better astronaut in the commander seat than Jim Lovell. He had just, you know, I think he was NASA's most traveled astronaut at that point. Mm-hmm. He had all the experience. He stayed calm. Mm-hmm. Mission flight director Gene Kranz always told me that at no point in that mission did they get short with guys on mission control or anything. They were just pleasant to work with the entire time, even though you knew that they were freezing and only had a light bulb on up there. Right. He said, but they were just great sports about it. And they came through.
30 seconds or so, a final memory. What Jim Lovell's legacy to you personally?
To me personally, I think one of the things that will always stand out is that despite being as historically significant and as famous as he was, he was always just so wonderful to everybody here. We really did view him and his family as family. And when you knew Jim was coming up, sometimes he wouldn't even tell us. He'd just pop into the museum if it was outside the air show. And you'd be walking through the museum, be like, is that Jim Lovell over there? So just an absolutely humble hero, if I ever had to phrase it up for him.
Well, well done. Chris Henry, EAA Museum Director, Oshkosh, thank you so much for taking this time and helping us remember the late, great Jim Lovell and his legacy to the state of Wisconsin, the United States, and the world. Thank you so much, Chris. Really appreciate it. Have a great day up there in Oshkosh.
Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure always. Come on back.
Up next, we'll listen to another part of Tuesday's show where Todd spoke with State Senator Kelda Royce about some of her latest accomplishments. Stick around. Thanks for sticking with us on the Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. Here we're going to listen to Todd's conversation with State Senator Kelda Royce about some of her latest accomplishments and about her plans for the future.
I've got to run away. I've got to get away from the pain you drive into the heart of me.
Welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock here on a Tuesday, August 12th. Zomer is on the board. Glad to have you along. I'm not sure why. There was a medical commercial, Zomer. Was it for some kind of a prescription or was it for scrubs at one point? But there was, they used that music in a medical. So I hear that song and I think medical stuff.
Well, I'm glad you explained that because I don't know if everyone has that connection. They might have been very confused about
my,
what.
It's my personal.
I was like, you know, this is, it's kind of a downer song considering that we just had a great bill signed into law.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. We're like, celebrate good times. Come on, you know.
State Senator Kelda Royce.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
I should have deferred to you. It's my bad. I apologize. But did you remember that it was on TV, not, I don't know, a few years ago? And it was that it was, they played it over and over and over. I love the song. It's,
yeah.
It's a catchy tune.
It is.
But I think of medical stuff. But all right. I'll leave the music selection next time to our guest here this half hour. She joins us live at the table. Always a pleasure when she stops by. She is the state senator from the 26th District here in parts of Madison and the Middleton area. Kelda Royce. Senator Royce, welcome back.
Good to be with you, Todd.
It's great to be with you as always. And I don't know. I mean, yeah, you're a great music aficionado. But Zomers asked me, he goes, he wanted me to pick a show tune because we both appreciate show tunes.
Yeah.
I said, I can't think of a show tune for medical stuff. So I chose that one. Sorry. Much more importantly, we're here at the aforementioned bill that Senator Royce mentioned. Because this is really big. My aunt, Peggy Allbaugh Clark, was a nurse her entire career at St. Mary's here in Madison. She ended up being the head of OBGYN nurses for a while. She did that for like 2 or 3 years, and she went to her administrator and she said, I want to go back on the floor because I want to take care of patients. But her experience in nursing really impacted my life and my appreciation for healthcare professionals. Mm-hmm. And I know, Senator Royce, you have been a sponsor of a bill for some time that Governor Evers just signed into law, known as Advanced Practice Registered Nurses Licenses, or APRN. Explain this, what this why this issue came to you and why you've been such a longtime sponsor and what it means getting this signed into law.
So this bill is really, really important. It lets advanced practice nurses, so this is like a certified nurse midwife or a nurse practitioner, a nurse anesthetist. This is somebody who has been a registered nurse and then they went on to get a master's or a PhD and do many additional hours of training. It lets them practice independently without having to be under the direct supervision of a physician. It's really, really important to increasing access to healthcare for Wisconsinites and for addressing the workforce shortage that we face in the nursing field. So this is a great thing that allows Wisconsin to join the majority of other states that let advanced practice nurses use the full scope of their training and their education to care for patients.
So talk to us a little bit about the history of this bill. Because one of the reasons I admire you as a legislator, even though I was a Republican for a lot of years, I'm an independent now, we might not agree on every single issue, but I really admire the fact that as a very proud Democrat, you know, Governor Evers was not on this bill initially, and you fought some of your own party to make sure this happened.
Yeah, you know, this bill, I have been supportive of it from the very beginning because I think it's really important for nursing professionals and for patients. And it's been kind of lonely in the beginning because I was the only Democrat on the bill for a long time and the governor vetoed it several times. And, you know, it had sort of become a turf war between doctors and nurses, right? Doctors saying we don't really want nurses to have more authority. And the nurses saying, well, listen, we got the training, we got the education, we should be allowed to use it. And, you know, for me, looking at the data in other states, it was pretty clear. I've also been passionate about this issue personally because I feel very lucky that I was able to have all three of my babies delivered and all my prenatal care was taken care of by certified nurse midwives. And it was actually my OBGYN who said, you know, Kelda, when I was pregnant with my first baby, I would really recommend you look into having a CNM be your primary care provider because you're going to get excellent care. You've got a low-risk pregnancy and the outcomes are actually better.
So I was looking through a couple of my notes. I'm sorry, I couldn't find it off the top of my head. You know this, I know. But what was Governor Evers' hang up on this initially? Why did he veto it the first time?
Well, you know, he gave long veto messages explaining that he had concerns about how this was going to impact patients across the state. He, I think, accepted at face value some of the claims made by the Wisconsin Medical Society, which represents physicians. That this was somehow going to be bad for patients. And, you know, I think that this bill, when you actually look at what the impact is in other states, and especially in a place like Wisconsin, where we have so many rural people who are underserved, it's not like they're getting to choose between 10 different specialists, right? It's like, if there's no provider there, then they don't get care. Or they have to drive 2.5 hours. Mm. And, you know, when that is a situation, we just cannot sit by and let Wisconsin be behind the times and push nurses out of the profession and out of state.
Right. These are my words, not Senator Royce's, but my perception from an outsider a little bit is, I think you hit it on the head, turf wars. And for those who have never been in politics and whatever, there's a lot of money spent on lobbying with physicians and every organization. And I think there were some self-interest there, in my opinion.
There were definitely powerful interests that were
maybe pushing people around the governor, in my opinion. And whether or not that was the case, I don't know. But credit to you. And credit also at least to a couple of Republicans. And what I love about this, it was a bipartisan bill signed into law because, as to your point, I think on its face value, people would say, oh, this just represents or is better for rural Wisconsin. Thus, more Republicans might be on board. But I think your personal experience having used midwives are like, no. Doesn't matter where we live in Wisconsin. Right. This is good for everyone.
Right. And let's be clear. It's not just rural areas that are facing a healthcare shortage or that are underserved. We have a lot of urban populations that do not have access to the healthcare they need. We have some terrible racial disparities in this state, and allowing advanced practice nurses to take care of patients in this way will help alleviate that. And especially, I'm passionate about reproductive justice, reproductive rights, and having a kid and getting the care that you want during your pregnancy and delivery and postpartum is absolutely a reproductive right.
We're talking with State Senator Kelda Royce. She represents the 26th District here in Dane County, parts of Madison and Middleton area. Talked about the Advanced Practice Registered Nurses License, or APRN. Talk a little bit about, Senator Royce, about the people you spoke with. Because, again, having spent some time with you on the air, I know that listening to people, not only here in your district, I saw it firsthand when you and former Representative Katrina Shanklin came out to where I was from in southwest Wisconsin, the little town of Muscatine, and talked about, you know, the UW system and what that meant to rural Wisconsin closing down a two-year campus. You travel the state and listen to people. Talk about some of the stories you heard and why you were so passionate about this bill.
Well, I really listen to all comers, right? So I heard from patients about the care that they received from nurse practitioners. I listen to nurses, nursing students, people who are thinking about where they're going to build their careers and their lives, and can they stay in Wisconsin? You know, I listen to physicians, both physicians who were in support of APRN modernization and those who were opposed. I took their concerns seriously. Asked for follow-up data to say, please show me how it isn't safe. Show me data from the 28 other states that are doing this and how it harms patients. And I was never able to get data from opponents of the bill. I've never felt like I should stop listening at the borders of my district. I listen to people everywhere across the state, whether they agree with me or not, and I learn. I actually listen, not just to respond, but to learn from them. And that's, it solidified the support that I already felt for this bill, but it really made me passionate about I need to be an evangelist to my Democratic colleagues because they have not had the opportunity to hear these stories. And they're hearing from some very highly paid, very effective and persuasive lobbyists on this and from people we trust, right? We trust physicians. And, you know, we do want to take seriously what we hear from all members of the medical and healthcare community, but I've got to help get my Democratic colleagues on board so that we can show the governor that this is an important Democratic issue too.
Help me and people across the state understand this a little bit better if you could, as somebody who really worked on sponsoring this bill. As I see it from the outside, part of this was, again, it goes back to turf wars, that if RNs are doing more, my verbiage, that somehow this is going to be a threat to physicians. Well, they're coming into our territory. But my understanding of this bill is that the RNs were willing to take more hours of training to have more freedom. So it's not like they're going out there with no training. They're putting the time and probably much of their own money into more hours of training so that they're qualified to help particularly women, but everyone across the state.
Absolutely. So there are many, many categories of nursing. And as you move up the scale, you can start as a nursing assistant, then you can become an RN, which usually requires a college degree, bachelor's or a master's. And then you have to pass a test, right? You have to pass your boards. Then you can go on to graduate school and earn a master's or a PhD in a particular area of nursing and specialize in that. And then this bill, where we compromise is we actually require roughly 4 more years of training under a supervision. So you're in practice, but you're working under the guidance of a supervision. That's more than almost any other state requires that has this bill. So there is a lot of oversight and training that happens. And then after that point, you would have the ability, if you wanted to practice independently.
State Senator Kelda Royce is our guest. Senator, a couple minutes before the break here. My grandparents, my maternal grandmother spent the last 8-ish years of her life in a nursing home. One of the things, the challenges across the state is finding RNs to help our aging population. Mm-hmm. And again, there are things that a CNA can do, but they can't do things an RN can do. And I know that it will this bill open up more avenues for our aging population across the state?
I certainly hope so, and I think so, because the truth of the matter is we don't have enough of any healthcare professional. We don't have enough physicians. We don't have enough nurses. We don't have enough nurse practitioners. We don't have enough CNAs, physical therapists, across the board. And if we make Wisconsin a place that is welcoming to healthcare professionals, then we can help alleviate that crisis.
You're always good about taking questions. You already taking a question.
Let's do it.
All right. If anybody wants to call in with a question on this or something else for Senator Royce, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or you can text us on the Civic Media app. What have I not asked you so far about this bill, the Advanced Practice Registered Nurses License bill that you want to make sure Wisconsinites know about?
Well, I think this bill is really based in data and making sure that people can get excellent, high quality healthcare that's affordable. But for me, it's also really about freedom. It's about the freedom as a patient to choose your provider. And especially in the context of having a baby, you should be able to choose who your provider is. And it's about the freedom to practice your profession. And if you have gone to school for many, many years and paid tens of thousands of dollars and put in your time, the state should not be restricting your ability to practice your profession.
I couldn't agree more. And look, I'm a huge believer in an admirer of everybody in the healthcare field, if not for a great physician in the late, great Dr. Dick Edwards at the Richland Hospital, who sent me to Madison the day I was born for my cleft palate, I would not be in radio today. I also had great nurses over my life that helped me as well. There is room for both professions in America.
We need them all.
Yeah, absolutely. And we need more legislators like Kelda Royce who are willing to work in a bipartisan fashion, in my humble opinion, to get things done. We'll wrap up the show with Senator Royce after this across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Thanks for sticking with us on the Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. Here we're going to listen to Todd's conversation with State Senator Kelda Royce about some of her latest accomplishments and about her plans for the future.
Our great stations you're listening to. Weather update, our great sports reporter Mike Clemens will be along with a sports update in case you missed it at the top of the show. Mike was along to give us the breaking news out of Green Bay. Jordan Love, starting quarterback of the Packers, having surgery on his left hand. The non-throwing hand out in L.A. today. So he's going to be out at least for a couple of games. Mike will be in with an update on that. And then another edition of the Maggie Dawn Show from 4 until 6. Join Maggie. And then followed by Pete Schwab from 6 until 8 tonight. A great lineup here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And don't forget the Brewers in action tonight. Pre-game show at 6:05, broadcast just after 6:35 on many of these stations. Pirates taking on the Brewers. State Senator Kelda Royce of the 26th District here at the table with us. Senator Royce, how about those Brewers?
I mean, what a season.
Right? You got your Brewers blue on today for those watching on the stream. I mean, 10 in a row? I mean, it's something good to feel good about because certainly a lot of tragedy going on with all the flooding in the Milwaukee area.
Yes.
But boy, what a great distraction by the Brewers.
Absolutely. And, you know, Wisconsin is very blessed. We have some wonderful sports teams. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it feels even better when they're doing well.
Yeah, it really does. Just wrapping up on this bill here, you were a co-sponsor of. Governor Evers signed it into law after the legislature passed it this session. Advanced Practice Registered Nurses Licenses, APRN. Going to open up more opportunities for healthcare in this state, more opportunities for nurses. But again, to your credit, as an avid Democrat, you reached across the aisle. I know you had some Republican help in getting this passed.
You know, I really have to give a lot of credit to my Republican co-leads on this bill, Senator Tustin, Senator Cabral-Guevara, because, you know, for a long time, I was the only Democrat. And it is not easy when you have a governor of your own party vetoing legislation that you passionately support. But I did it because I thought it was the right thing to do. And at a time when politics is so divided, I really appreciate the fact that my Republican colleagues partnered with me and, you know, were good faith advocates every step of the way.
I think it's just a great example, and it's a good reminder in a very hyper-partisan world right now politically that bipartisanship does exist and things can get done.
They can. And, you know, at the end of the day, Wisconsin is a purple state, right? And we should have a lot more legislation that is bipartisan, right? Where it shouldn't be, you know, you shouldn't be shunned if you don't happen to agree with somebody of your same party. And, you know, I think that's especially true right now in the Republican Party. It's very, very difficult to disagree with the Republican president.
Right.
But, you know, we don't have that kind of level of problem. But it's still, you know, you know, it's not my favorite thing to be on the opposite side of the governor on anything because he's been a great governor.
Serendipity. It is the 12th of August, 2025.
My sister's birthday.
Is it? Well, happy birthday,
happy
your sister.
Happy birthday, Madeline.
Happy birthday, Madeline. Absolutely. Our friend of the program, Republican strategist Bill McCosken, tweeted out today on X, it is 1 year until the gubernatorial primaries in Wisconsin on August 12th, 2026. Senator Keldor Royce, you've been mentioned. Any announcement? Do you have plans to run for the governor of the state of Wisconsin?
I am pretty likely to run for governor in 2026.
I think you made a little bit of news here.
I can't make an announcement this very second, but when I think about the opportunities that we have in our state and the need for a really strong leader with a lot of experience getting things done in a politically purple state, I feel really excited about my chances and about what we could do together in this state.
Any idea of a timeline for an official announcement on running for governor?
Well, certainly my plan is to wait until people are a little bit more engaged and paying attention. I don't think anybody needs a 13-month primary. I really hope. I hope everybody's out here listening to your show. But I hope they're doing it at the pool or on a nice hike or getting their kids yet another snack, right? And then once, we're back into the swing of things with fall, I think there will be some opportunities for make a big announcement.
After Labor Day, perhaps?
I think that's probably consistent.
All right. After kids get back into school. Yeah. And, of course, you represent UW-Madison. Things getting back in the swing there. A couple of minutes left here. If you were, and it sounds like you're likely to run for governor, what would be your one or two top priorities?
Well, I think the main thing is lowering costs for families, right? We have got to get more money in people's pockets because so many Wisconsinites are feeling economically strained right now. And they have every reason to be. And it's only going to get worse under the Trump recession that we have coming and, the chaos and the corruption that's coming out of Washington, the horrible, devastating cuts that we're seeing in the budget, that is going to devastate the states. That is really an attack on states like Wisconsin and every Wisconsinite, right? So we really have to make sure that we have a governor that is ready to do the hard thing and stand up for Wisconsin families against cuts at the federal level. And invest in the things that we need, like public education, healthcare, our infrastructure, our roads.
It looks like maybe Tom Tiffany's going to get on the Republican side, maybe not. They're all focused so far, it appears. Bill McCosken said on this program that they're after Donald Trump's endorsement. It seems like they're going after one person. What's it going to take to win the Democratic endorsement? Is there a particular constituency, or what do you have to do to win the nomination first?
Well, I think, my plan is I'm not going to be running for the Democratic nomination. I'm running for governor. And I want to appeal to people all across the state in every geographic region, in every demographic case. I don't think you should ever try to be a governor or an executive if you think that you should only be appealing to certain demographics. I don't like breaking people down and putting them in categories with labels. I think, whether you agree with me or disagree with me on an issue, I owe you the truth about my ideas and my willingness to listen. That's the kind of governor I want to be. And I think that's the kind of governor that Wisconsinites want and deserve.
State Senator Keldor Royce, Democrat of the 26th District, as the Bob Schieffer from CBS News is fond of saying, I think he just made a little bit of news, saying she's likely to run for governor of the state of Wisconsin. We always appreciate when you stop by. Keep on stopping by, Senator.
I hope I can.
We always appreciate it. Thank you so very much.
That's all for this week's Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. As always, if you want to hear the rest of the week's shows, you can go to civicmedia.us/shows or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And as Todd always says, whatever you believe in, whatever you're fighting for, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you on Monday.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.